The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. There are at least four different accounts in the Gospels of Jesus healing the blind, and it's a little hard to be sure exactly how many there are, because the different Gospels sometimes tell the same story, but in a slightly different way. And certainly there were a lot of blind people that Jesus healed whose stories never got written down. But among all those stories, this story about Bartimaeus is unique. First of all, Mark tells us his name. Bartimaeus is pretty much the only person in all the Gospels who was healed by Jesus who's given a name. The only other one is Malchus, that soldier that Peter cut the ear off of when he came to arrest Jesus in the garden. In every other healing, the person is referred to as the centurion servant, or the woman with an issue of blood, or the man with the withered hand. But here, even though it's just a poor beggar who happened to be sitting along the roadside as Jesus passed by, Mark gives him a name. Bartimaeus wasn't just the blind beggar. He wasn't an example. He wasn't a statistic. He was a human being. He was a man who hadn't always been a beggar. He was a man who had a story like you do, like I do, who was a child once, who was named after his father, because Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. And we know something else about Bartimaeus. We know that he had not always been blind. When the people brought him over to Jesus and Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus answered him, "Teacher, I want to see again." There was another time when Jesus healed a man who had been born blind, but Bartimaeus was different. Bartimaeus had once been able to see. He remembered light. He remembered the blue of the sky. He remembered the green of the grass and the gold of the ripening fields in the fall. He remembered the way the stars looked strewn across the dark sky like jewels. He remembered how the lamps shone in the windows of each house in the village when he was a boy. He remembered the face of his father, Timaeus. And so he begged Jesus, "Teacher, please let me see again." And Jesus said, "Go, your faith has made you well." And at that very moment, he could see again. Just like that. Just like turning on the light switch in a room that had been dark for a very, very long time. There are so many amazing stories of healing in the Gospels, like the story of Bartimaeus. And I always feel that they need to be read with caution. If we believe the Gospels, the Bible, as we do, the story of Bartimaeus teaches us that Jesus has the power to do things like this. He is able to restore the sight of a blind man. Doesn't matter what disease or what accident had robbed Bartimaeus of his sight, Jesus was able in one instant to undo what had been done to him. One minute he was in the dark, and the next minute his world was full of color and light again. Jesus can do that. He could do it along the roadside just outside of Jericho 2,000 years ago, and he can do that today. But he doesn't always heal. Every one of us knows times when we and the people we love have prayed, earnestly prayed, for healing. Healing of all kinds, healing of blindness, of cancer, of injuries. And the healing doesn't always happen. It doesn't happen in an instant. Sometimes it doesn't happen after a long, long time and a lot of prayer. In fact, the Apostle Paul himself prayed earnestly that God would heal him, probably of some affliction of his eyes, and God's answer was no. And he said, my grace is all you need. In fact, I can work through you more powerfully when you're weak. We know that when we pray, God always hears us. We know that he always cares about us and that he always wants what's best for us. And we know that he always answers us. But physical healing is not always the answer. And so if we want to read the story of Bartimaeus with real understanding, we have to remember that at the outset. But unlike physical blindness, there are kinds of blindness that Jesus will always heal if we ask him. Just like Bartimaeus, we can all look back on times when we saw more light, when we saw less shadow in our lives. We can all remember a time when things looked clearer than they do now. And I'm not talking about our physical eyes, because as we get older, that's also true. I'm not talking about astigmatisms and cataracts and glaucoma, that kind of thing. I'm talking about the way we see with the eyes of our hearts and our minds. I'm talking about how that changes as we grow older in the world for so many reasons. For example, a couple of months ago, Carol and I had the great privilege of attending Romy's eldest daughter, Liza's, wedding. And so we got to stay in a hotel overnight, which is kind of a treat for us. And we had the unusual and not such a treat experience of watching TV with commercials. Pretty sure there were more ads than there were shows.
Yes.
The world is really good and really persistent at telling us how much we need. We see TV ads, we see magazine ads, we can't drive anywhere without seeing billboards along the road. The world wants us to know that whatever we have, however much we have, it is not nearly enough. That's one kind of blindness that has reached epidemic proportions. We might call it the blindness of discontent, maybe the blindness of ingratitude. And then maybe we can almost remember what it was like when life was absolutely full of delights, sunshine and rain, and the smell of summer cooking when we got home from school, stopping to pat a puppy, finding a penny on the sidewalk, or then when we got a little bit older, maybe we remember the absolute joy of saving for months and months just to buy a rug for our apartment and rejoicing in how beautiful it was, even though there wasn't much else there. And sometimes we think that the world has gotten darker, and there is certainly a lot of darkness in the world, and we were never more aware of that than this week. But that's not our problem. Our problem is that our lives get so overshadowed by the things we don't have and the things we think we need that we become blind to the real good that's all around us. But sometimes it's not so much the past or the present that worries us as the future. Sometimes it seems like the older we get, the scarier the future is. And some of us make a whole career out of worrying. We worry that we're not doing enough. We worry that we're not good enough at doing what needs to be done. We worry about all the things that might happen to the people we love. We worry about being failures. We worry about being alone. We worry about all the very real things that might happen to people, sickness and old age and failed marriages and broken friendships and poverty and homelessness. And all that evil that might be casts a shadow over everything that is and makes it dark. I think fear is the world's most effective tool in robbing us of our sight. This past week, two men have been arrested for crimes against people they didn't even know because they were so full of fear. Caesar Sayoc made pipe bombs and mailed them to people that he had labeled as liberal because in the darkness of his mind, he believed the whispers all around that those people were going to destroy everything he held dear. And Robert Bowers brought deadly weapons into a house of worship. And he killed 11 people because he believed that Jews, those people, were evil, that they were out to kill his people. And it's not just crazy people. This is not just crazy people. The fear is out there everywhere. Fear the other one, whoever that other one might be. Fear those migrants. Fear the little children. Fear the liberals. Fear the conservatives. Fear Muslims or black people or gay people or transgender people. Fear makes us blind to the humanity of our fellow human beings. And when we live in the dark, we do anything we can to defend ourselves, even if it means hurting and destroying somebody who is just as much a child of God as we are. And then, inside, within our own hearts and minds, we become blind when we hold on to hurts and betrayals and injustices, when we're unable or when we're unwilling to offer forgiveness and let those roots of bitterness just grow deeper and deeper. When I was writing this, I was thinking, I feel like I harp on forgiveness an awful lot, but I have reasons for that. First of all, Jesus harped on forgiveness as well. When he taught his disciples his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, he hammered home on that part about forgiveness. He said, if you don't forgive your brother or sister when they sin against you, neither will your Father forgive you your sins. That's pretty straightforward. I don't make these things up. Unforgiveness is a killer. It poisons our thoughts. It makes us unable to receive forgiveness. It makes us blind to the light by filling us with that darkness of our pain, with that darkness of our resentment. And that's not to say that healing is always instantaneous, that it doesn't take some time, especially when our blindness comes from those old hurts or those deeply ingrained prejudices. I had a relapse myself just a couple of days ago of an old wound. I was reading, and I'm not blaming the psalm here, it was just the occasion for it. I was reading Psalm 35, where the psalmist is calling out for God to smite the enemy who betrayed him. And I could just feel that old darkness creeping back in. The psalm goes, they pay me back evil for good. When they were sick, I dressed in mourning. But when I was in trouble, they all gathered around and made fun of me. And I was reading those words in my devotional time, and I could just feel that old hurt and resentment acting up all over again like an old football injury. But when I hand that over to God for the 50th time, for the 500th time, he always is gracious to heal. He's always willing to take that burden away from us. He's always there to heal that kind of blindness of our hearts and of our minds, and to let us see again with the light of his love and his grace, always. I'm always ready to pray for any kind of healing, for anybody, but I would never guarantee that God will heal any physical ailment in any particular way. I can't guarantee that. My own understanding is too limited, but I am willing to say that I would guarantee 100% or 1,000% that if you ask God to heal you of the blindness of discontent, or the blindness of fear, or the blindness of unforgiveness, or the blindness of worry, I guarantee that he will absolutely answer that prayer, that he will heal you. I can say that with zero hesitation, because I know that those are not God's will for you. I know there's not his way. John wrote, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And he wrote, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Paul wrote, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, tell God what you need, and his peace, which is greater than anyone can ever imagine, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then when he was writing to Timothy, Paul wrote, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's a really good verse. A couple of weeks ago, Noah was here with us. And every time I remember his little face, I can't help smiling because it's so full of light, that just beaming little face. Jesus said more than once that we have to become like little children if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he wasn't saying, you better try to make yourself childlike or you won't get to go to heaven if you die. He was saying that he wants you to be childlike now so you can see that he's bringing us into the kingdom of heaven now. That you are in the presence of God now. And our problem is that most of us have given up even hoping that we could ever be like Noah again. Most of us don't really believe that we'll ever be able to see again the way that we could when we were younger. A lot of us have made our peace with our blindness. We've become more or less comfortable with living in the four walls of our dark little lives. And we've gotten so used to feeling afraid and worrying about things and being discontented and hurt, along with a generous helping of guilt, that we've convinced ourselves that that's what being grown up feels like. It just feels normal. And because of that, we never